All right, Church, let's go ahead and go over a few announcements before we get started tonight. Sure is a blessing to see all of you who were able to make it here this evening. It sure is always good to see folks come back to church for the midweek Bible study. Not sure about you, friend, but I know that I need to be refreshed. I get enough from this world. I get enough from this flesh. I get enough from sin that I battle with on a daily basis. So it's always good to come to church on the midweek. It's always good to see other Christians. It's good to open up the Bible with each other. It's good to encourage each other and to refresh each other. Amen. Not sure about you, but I hope you guys came expecting tonight like I did. And I hope you came with an open heart to let the Word of God minister to you like it has been ministering to me this evening. Amen. So it is always a blessing to see you all here this evening. All right. Friendly announcement tomorrow. Just wanted to remind you guys, we're trying to get back on our schedule of what we were doing with our Thursday, every other Thursday soul winning sunset market outreach. So tomorrow, if you could join us, that sure'd be a blessing. 6 to 7 downtown or whatever, 7:30, however long folks want to stay with us. But once we get back on this track, then we'll resume back to our every other Thursday. That way we can get back on schedule. And so if you can make it with my wife and I, we sure would appreciate that. Let's continue to labor for our master. And just like that hymn said this afternoon, we sang 966, amen. When that roll, amen, calls up yonder, we want to be found of the master laboring. And then just like that next song, brethren, we met to worship. Sisters, pray with us. Reach out to the lost sinners with us, sister. So tomorrow, if you can join us, that should be a blessing. And then from then on, we'll resume back to our every other Thursday schedule. So sure appreciate that. Upcoming announcements. As of now, we don't have any special guest speakers until the end of September. So once again, church, I just want to let you know, at the end of September, that last week, we're going to be having Brother Ed Worth visit us all the way from Florida, where my Bible school is. He's going to be a huge blessing to our church. We're going to have like a mini revival for our church. It's going to be the first time ever in Simple Faith Baptist history. We're going to have a small little refreshing, a little mini revival, if you will. So once again, church, I want to encourage you, do your best to make the last week of September available, personal for your work, and just fellowship in the evening time. We want to be able to love on this brother who's coming out from over 2,000 miles away to just hang out with our little church family here in Oceanside. We want to avail ourselves to love on him, to fellowship with him. Maybe some of us can have some dinner at our each other's places, whatever we can do to just make him feel welcome as we receive what he wants to pour into our hearts. He's going to be doing our Sunday church. He's going to be doing the Wednesday, and he's going to be doing the Friday before he flies back out on Saturday. So we're going to have a good amount of days to get fed. Also, Q&A, questions and answers. Begin to write them down. He's going to be having a great time of Q&A. And so when I do pick him up on the Friday, I believe it's going to be on the 23rd is when I pick him up in LAX. Of course, we'll have Friday night discipleship. He may want to rest that day. On the 24th, we're going to go soul winning together. So we're going to be able to see this brother in action. Amen. It's going to be a blessing. And then on Sunday, of course, he'll minister to us on the 25th. Monday, Tuesday, again, time for fellowship. So if anybody wants to join my wife and I, we'd like to take him around town or, you know, just stuff like that, right, to hang out. Wednesday, he'll do the midweek. Thursday, the soul win in sunset. We sure want to see him in action. Amen. He's a street preacher. That brother he's on fire. I call him Brother Ed the Bull Worth because he goes to college campuses. They go to the race shows and they love soul winning out there. So we get to see him in action. And then, like I said, the last day he'll have with us here is the 30th, that Friday. And then he'll fly back home on that Saturday on the 1st of October. So like I said, church, try your best. You have plenty of time to prepare yourself for the last week of September. It sure mean a lot to me if you can arrange your time so we can love on this brother who's coming out to be a blessing to me as your pastor and you as well as a church family. Amen. Those are the upcoming announcements. I also want to remind our church of our study blogs. Some of our men, they get them from me, our little minister devotionals. But for the women, if you'd like to, be blessed from those studies that I sent out our men, you can do so by going on our church website, click on study blogs. Today, it was the parable of the sower and the seed. And ironically, it's going to tie into tonight's message. So I'm just going to leave that tab open. Ministry opportunities, like I said, tomorrow, let's get out there. Let's keep on soul winning. Saturdays, same thing. Let's get out there. Let's keep on soul winning. And then hopefully we'll be able to get some more funds in as the church continues to give. We'll save up. We took care of our church rent. That was a blessing. So now we're going to save some money to get our more door hangers because we ran out. And so, we're almost done, essentially. We have like maybe 30 left or so. So we sure need to get some more door hangers. Amen. Prayer tab. It's the most important announcement to make at church. Amen. Please submit your prayer requests right there. And if you're watching online or hearing us, you can do so on our church website. But obviously, since all of our church house members are in here, call each other, text each other, say, brother, can you pray with me? Sister, can you pray with me? You guys already know that I'm just a phone call away. We will be there for you any time of the day. Live stream links, you guys already know, Podbean, Facebook, and YouTube. Last but not least, church, if you're a member of this church, hope you are. Please remain faithful in whatever you purpose in your heart to financially give back to God to support the work of ministry here. It goes to our church flyers. It pays for our church rent, our church insurance. It helps us to meet the needs of this ministry here underneath our vision. And so whenever you want to do that, take care of that between you and God. Box back there, online, and then call it a day. Amen? All right, so I'm just going to leave that open in the background. And with that said, may you do me a favor, church, and go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of Exodus, chapter number 19. And as you make your way there, as always, church, how has your week been? Okay. Yeah, thumbs up. Okay, amen. Okay, amen. Praise the Lord. Like I tell you, church, and God is a witness, I pray for every single one of you every single day by name. We're praying for Sister Eileen to get that job, amen. We're praying for Sister Kina's recovery. We're praying for Brother Giovanni's, you know, blessing in his marriage. Praying for Sister Maribel and that marriage as well. I pray for all of you every day, and I hope that your guys' week is getting better and better, Lord willing, with your personal devotion with the Lord, and as you guys continue to come to church to keep growing. Tonight's message is going to be different. It's going to be a topical. It's something that is on my heart, plus Bible study and my own devotional, two sources of inspiration. And tonight I have titled this message, God is Waiting for a Willing Heart. God is waiting for a willing heart. That's what the Lord is waiting for. So when you ask yourself about change within your life, when you think about growth within your church, when you think about the next step in your level with the Lord as it pertains to what does God want me to do? What is his calling for my life? What are my spiritual gifts that God has given me to benefit my church? The number one thing, and you always hear me say it from behind this pulpit, it's all about the heart. Well, tonight, I'm going to prove that once again to you. He's looking not only for a heart, but a willing heart. Not a heart grudgingly, not a heart by force, not a heart by coerce, not a heart being emotionally enticed. No, a willing heart. And tonight, as we're going to look from the example of the children of Israel, as they were getting ready to build the tabernacle, literally, Moses had to command the people to stop giving their money, to stop giving all of their donations, to stop blessing the priest and him for what they needed to get done. He literally had to tell them to stop doing it because their hearts were willing. I hope to God one day I may have the opportunity to say that about this church in its history, from its infancy now, since we're still in our infancy, as it pertains to an entity existing, if you will, underneath our banner. I hope to one day to be able to say, okay, church, we need to stop giving. It's a little overflowing here, and everybody's needs are met. Our church is paid. Our missionaries are being covered. We need to kind of break it down. I hope one day we can do that. But until then, I hope tonight's message stirs you up as it has me, and it's just a way to challenge you. It's a way to provoke you individually and corporately, including myself, to continue to give God all I have, but with a willing heart. And then watch how the Lord will then build our church. Watch how God will add to our church. Watch how God will take care of our finances. Watch how God will take care of your marriages. Watch how God will provide that job for you. Watch how God will help you because you're first giving him a willing heart. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for tonight once again. I pray for tonight's study, Lord. I thank you for every soul that's here tonight, God. I know some of them, they went through some things coming here to church tonight, God. I know some of them have been comfortable. Some of them have been going through a storm. But for this next hour and a half or so, Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will please help their spirit to concentrate, to focus, God, not to become distracted by the things of this life. No matter what took place before they came through those doors tonight, God, will they be willing to sacrifice now, Lord, their bodies and present it back to you, a holy and living acceptable sacrifice? Can they present their spirit back to you, their heart, their mind, their soul, and their strength to receive the word of God and what you would have for us to learn from this portion of scripture? And I pray that you would begin to stir within the hearts of these men, especially these men underneath this church, God, to assist me, the wives to assist us as well in the work of ministry, like the hymn sang, so we could give you a willing heart and we can see you build this church from the inside out. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Wash me again and the precious blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, for any sins which I've committed against you. Help me to be a vessel that is honorable in your sight. Meet with us tonight, God. Fill us with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Look at here in Exodus chapter 19, verse number 1. The Bible says here that in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and their Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagles' wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So as we build some context, by the way, church, you guys want that AC on or off? Are you guys good? On or off? It's off? Good? Okay. Here we have some context. And what are we discovering here? The Old Testament here. We are way before the time of Christ. This is thousands of years ago. We are just talking about the nation of Israel as they are in the wilderness journeys because they had just been freed from the land of Egypt where they were underneath bondage from Pharaoh. You guys remember that story. And here we have Moses. He is the shepherd and the pastor of this great congregation of the children of Israel. And it's estimated by whatever historical book you want to read or whatever commentary, generally a lot of folks think that there are at least 2 million Israelites that Moses had to pastor over, or if you will, shepherd over, as it pertains to God giving him the word and then him then dispensing that word unto all the people, and eventually he would set up judges, etc., etc. But reread with me here in verse number 4 through 6. You know what the Lord reminded them? He tells them here, don't you remember what I did when you were still underneath that bondage? Don't you remember how I bore you just kind of like an eagle does? And how I brought you unto myself? Don't you remember what I did for you in bringing you out of that? And if you do this in return, if you love me, if you obey my word, here's what I'm going to do for you in return. You're going to be a special people. That word peculiar, it's a distinct, it's a separate thing, you see. And you're going to be a kingdom of priests unto me and a holy nation. And here's what God told that pastor, Moses. Moses, you better tell the people what I am telling you. Every one of us, for a spiritual application, once in a while, as your pastor, I'm going to remind you of where God has brought you from. I'm going to give you a sermon. I'm going to give you a message. And at sometimes I'll hit on things of what you used to do before you got saved. And I'm going to remind you of how God delivered you concerning various sins which you and I used to commit, and how you and I were free from the bondage of sin that was over our lives. And as a Christian now, it's always a good thing, and it's beneficial every once in a while to open up that closet to see your former clothing, to see your former lifestyle and your acts and deeds and thoughts, and then close the door to just see the precious blood of Jesus Christ shed over that thing. So that way it'll remind you, wow, this is what the Lord did to deliver me out of my land of bondage. Are you with me? It's always good every once in a while, church, because it reminds you and it humbles you that this is what he came to do, to deliver you from this present evil world. You can read that in Galatians 1:4. And if we, likewise, as Christians, obey God's voice as we walk as children of light, then he will bless us. He will cause us to grow more and more spiritually and mature, and our desires will yield to his desires. Our thoughts will yield to his thoughts, and truly, we too, as the body of Christ, will be living as a peculiar people in the midst of darkness, surrounded by unbelievers, whether here or at home, our family, or our friends. I'm just going to give you a couple of scripture references, church, and you can write these down, or we'll look at them together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I just want to springboard, but our main text is going to be in Exodus. So keep your bookmarker there, and then we'll just flip quickly over here to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 8. Church, when you got saved, you became a child of light. You were delivered, and you were brought out of darkness. That darkness, I'm going to liken it tonight in our explanation, is sin. And the one who had you in that prison and had the keys, if you will, was the devil. It literally took a mighty act of God to deliver you from that thing. And when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he had the power over death and hell and the devil. And so he was able to legally deliver you and free you, and hence you were no longer underneath Pharaoh's bondage. And who was that Pharaoh over our life? The devil. Amen. Now look at here in 1 Thessalonians 5:4. That Bible says, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness," anybody out there, "that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation." Two more on that topic of being what? Children of light. The next, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And let's go there together, all the way to verse number 14. The Bible says here, speaking of Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a what, church? Peculiar people. Isn't that what God did for Israel? That's what he said, didn't he? Back there in Exodus 19. "I brought you up out of the land of Egypt on eagle's wings unto myself. I did this great wonder before you in the sight of Pharaoh. I literally delivered you with a mighty and outstretched arm." You know what Jesus Christ did for you? He died for you on that cross so that he can not only forgive you, but that he can redeem you and deliver you from all iniquity. You see, Christ didn't just die on the cross to save us from going to hell and not receiving the legal punishment for our sins against the holy God. He died on the cross so that way he can purify you, a peculiar person. So that way, whatever Sister Maribel did back in the day, whatever Brother Carlos did back in the day, and fill in your name, we would no longer continue to live like that, but that over time, God will continue to purify a peculiar Maribel, a peculiar Carlos, a peculiar Giovanni, etc. So whatever you used to do, the hope is that God and us yielding to him by obeying his voice, remember that principle, he will continue to purify us unto himself. And then one more, 1 Peter 2, children of light, remember that, we're no longer of the darkness. Just like the children of Israel were redeemed and delivered out of the house of bondage, likewise, we were redeemed and delivered out of the house of our spiritual bondage of sin, which the devil had that power over us, and he is no longer our God. We serve a new God now, amen, and a new directive and a new power that penetrates our soul, and that's the Holy Spirit of God who gives us the ability and the power to walk as a child of light. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 9, church. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people," two times now in your New Testament, "that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of" what? "Darkness into his marvelous light." So what did he do? He wanted to deliver you from this present evil world. He wanted to redeem you unto himself, and he wanted to show forth, if you will, the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So literally, you're a child of light because you are now unto him. You are reconciled unto him. And so we should no longer walk in darkness. But what's the reminder? Let's go back to our base text tonight, Exodus 19. He told Moses to tell the children of Israel, "Don't forget what I did for you." You see there in verse number 4? In other words, Christian tonight, don't forget what God has done for you. Don't forget what he delivered you from. Continue to remember that and remind yourself to motivate yourself to do now what he commands you to do. Likewise, I want to talk with you about how God seeks to bless our church. He wants to bless our church with more teachers like myself. Perhaps to raise up deacons and preachers and maybe to even add people, but he's going to require you to help him. You say, "I sounds a little silly. Why would God need me, brother?" It may sound odd, as if God needs any one of us at all. Well, of course he doesn't, seeing that he gave it to all life and breath and all things, Acts 17:25. "And for in him we live and move and have our being," Acts 17:28. but God truly seeks to use us. He sought to use Israel and establish them as a nation. Did you not read that with me in verse number 6 of Exodus 19? And so likewise, he seeks to use us as the church in order that he might display himself unto the world. That's what the Bible word is, laborers. Laborers. Three places I'm going to show you quickly about this laboring aspect that, yes, God seeks to use us even though he doesn't need us. Look at Matthew chapter 9 with me in verse number 38. Jesus Christ seeks to use you tonight that are under my voice, every single one of you, every single individual here tonight, to be a laborer for him, to do something on his behalf. Even though he doesn't need you, he wants you. He wants to use you. But will you have a willing heart? That's the theme tonight, church. Look at here in Matthew 9, verse 37. He saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice how Jesus didn't say that God the Father is going to do it all by himself. Notice how Jesus didn't say the Holy Spirit is going to do it all by himself. You know what Jesus taught his disciples to pray for? That he would send more laborers. You know what I'm praying for tonight? That he would send you to labor more for him in the field. Amen. All of us as individuals, we are called to labor. Two more on this topic of laboring. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Look with me here, church, in verse number 9. Bible says, for we are laborers, say with me now, together with the pastor. Oh, I think I misread that. Let me try one more time. For we are laborers together with the church. Oh, one more time. We are laborers together with God. You got to believe that. You have to believe that when you are laboring, you're not just falling underneath the vision of the pastor, per se. You're not just going over, if you will, the distinctives of our faith to say, I'm going to put this into my application now. I'm going to go out and so on and tell everybody what our church believes. No, no. When you labor, you are literally laboring with God. Because God is where? He's in you. And so the Holy Spirit of God, remember, he is in you. He seeks to operate the power of God through you. But do you have a willing heart to labor with him? Look, it says ye are God's husbandry. Some of you who do gardening work, you know all about that. Ye are God's building. Church, you got to believe that. It's an honor to come to church tonight. I'm telling you right now, I get emails, guys, from Africa and everywhere else. They do not have the resources like you do. They do not have the time like you do. They don't have the freedom of a building to meet like we do. They don't have the freedom to go out and soul win like you do. And they want to labor like you do. And yet, perhaps some of us tonight, we don't even have that same desire to labor like they do. So what are we asking ourselves? God, do I have as much of a willing heart as I can? And then I want you to begin to pray even now, church, asking the Lord, Lord, strengthen my heart to be willing. All right, one more on this topic about laboring. Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. Look at here with me. The Bible says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. What a blessing, church. When you got saved, he came inside of you. He saved you. The Holy Spirit of God regenerated you. That's what we call being born again. Not only did he save you, but he empowered you with the power of Christ, the virtue of Christ. So not only can you obviously resist sin and take care of your body and all that thing, but so that way you can labor for God. Are you laboring, church? Are you being a laborer with your God? Let's go back now to Exodus chapter 19, to our base text. Exodus 19, verse 7 through 8. Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Isn't that quite unique? It's very, very similar to a job of a pastor of a local church. Is what we do is we study that book. I pour in a lot of hours to give you a message each week. And what am I doing, church? I am delivering you the words of your God. And then in return, hopefully you are like, yeah, pastor, I want to do what I just learned from the Bible to do. Hopefully that's what you want. And hopefully that's what every Christian and every portion, a part of our town is seeking to do within their local church. It's like, yeah, I love the word of God. I want to do what he says. But here, Israel agreed, all right. But let me quickly go back to our reference point online. Remember how I kept that tab open? I want you to remember about the parable of the sower and the seed. For those of you who had that opportunity to read it this morning, there was there are four types of soils that Jesus Christ talks about when people respond to the Word of God. And the first one is the wayside. I'll just quickly read this for you because, like I said, it goes hand in hand with our message tonight. Jesus said that those people that are by the wayside are they that hear the Word, and when they hear, the devil cometh and taketh away the Word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And that's what happens with those folks that receive that word on the wayside. There, it gets in there, but nothing else occurred. It was just immediately taken away by the devil coming through with another thought, perhaps when you're out there soul winning and they all of a sudden get distracted with, oh, there's an alcoholic thought, or oh, there's a relational, any kind of thought that gets in that distract them. There comes the enemy trying to take that gospel out when you're trying to talk to them. Look at here, the next one, among thorns. Stony ground. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, yet hath he not root in himself, but they dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he's offended. I want to liken this application back there in Exodus that the people of Israel, you know what they did? They received the word with gladness. They just told Moses, whatever God says, we'll do it. Yeah. But what happened a couple of chapters later? They begin to worship a golden calf. They start having sex with each other like crazy. They start fornicating. They start playing around. They start being silly again. Why? Because they had a sensational emotional response to God's word without thinking through the commitment of God's word that it required of them. Look, Jesus said that they have no root in themselves, and so endure for time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. That's what Jesus said about folks that receive the word on stony ground. They become offended because of the word. And so when we come back to our text tonight, that's exactly what we're seeing in principle with the children of Israel. So as we come on along in our story, church, all the way down here in verse number 25 of Exodus 19, here we begin to see that Moses went up and down away on the mountaintop receiving from God himself the laws, if you will. And that's what you're going to see all throughout this particular chapter. God begins to give Moses the word of God and the laws of God. And then he begins to tell him, don't tell the people to come up here, because if not, I'm going to take him out. So he begins to receive the laws of God. Turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter number 23. All the way now, church, from Exodus 20. How many of you guys have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Anybody out there? Can you name me one? Anybody out there? Without cheating. Don't look up. Don't look up. Anybody out there? Yes? There you go. Anybody else? Yes? Thou shalt do no murder, right? Or thou shalt not kill, but Jesus said thou shalt do no murder. So, yes, there you go. All that is right here, Exodus 20. So if you got to remember in the memory bank, Exodus 20 are where you can find the Ten Commandments, if you will. So when you're witnessing to somebody, you can go ahead and pull it up there. So now you can see it, Exodus chapter 20, all the way through Exodus 23. I'm just kind of showing you on the screen now so you guys can see. Literally, it's just God giving Moses the law for the nation of Israel. That's all I just want to point out to you. But just like they told Moses before he went up to the mount, and just like they're going to tell him after the fact, look at verse number 3 here in Exodus 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. Two times now. Yeah, Moses, whatever God says, we'll do it. All right, yeah, I'm down. we'll do whatever God commands us to do. I'll start doing this. We'll start doing that. Yep, it sounds good to us. Moses, sign us up and let God know up there the contract. We all agree. And then you can see here, verses 7 through 8, Moses began to confirm the covenant that they're all stating that they're going to be in agreement with. He took the blood, he sprinkled the people, and they all agreed concerning the Moses. They signed the contract, but what happened, church? It was stony ground. They received it immediately, but they didn't have no root. It didn't get in there all the way, church. They had an exciting, if you will, sensational affirmation to follow Christ and all of us, I'm sorry, to follow God, and all of a sudden, they began to fade away. Follow along with me now in our narrative. Go all the way down with me in Exodus 24 to verse 18. Moses went up back on that mount. We're on Mount Sinai, okay? He went into the midst of the cloud because remember, on that mountain, guys, was God's glory. Literally, it was a thick cloud of darkness and fire, and all the people of Israel that was around that mount, they saw the glory of God. That's why they were terribly afraid to say, okay, Moses, we'll just do it. You tell God, you go up there and you talk to God on our behalf because we are so afraid. We don't want to die hearing the almighty voice of Almighty God. So when he went up back there, he went back on the mountain for how many days and nights, guys? 40. So again, now you guys are remembering a little bit of the story. So he's gone. Exodus chapter 25. Follow along with me in the narrative. In this chapter, God begins to lay out before Moses the items needed to build a tabernacle, the money needed, the time, the workers, the men and women, the roles, etc. All these things began Moses to the Lord began to tell Moses concerning the tabernacle. But what's the message tonight? God is willing for waiting for a willing heart. Look at here in verse number 2. The Lord speaking to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. Isn't that amazing? It's always been a matter of the what? Heart. In this case, as he is preparing to give him the list of everything that's going to be required to build this tabernacle, Moses, it starts with what? You telling everybody who's willing to do this for God. Take it from that person. Take it from that person because they're willingly saying, God, we love you. Here you go. Whatever you want from us, God, we'll give it to you. Here's the money you need for that thing. Here's some gold that I have. Here's my talents. Here's my efforts. I think some of you guys are beginning to get the point. As you continue from Exodus 25 all the way through chapter 26, 27, 28. Again, he's going over all the specificities of the tabernacle. You can read it on your own time. Look it with me now in Exodus 28. We're going to now see specific people for specific roles. He says here in verse 1, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. How awesome is that? Now God is beginning to, if you will, separate and ordain Aaron's children and these men specifically for the priest's office because they have a wise heart. Why do they have a wise heart? Because they have a willing heart. And those that have a willing heart, church, they are the ones whom God is going to further enlighten and give them wisdom. Okay, look up back to the screen now. Parable of the sower. The Bible talks about those who receive the word of God on good ground. They are they that heard, if you will, the word of God, and with an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. He said in another place, he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100. You know what made these men wise-hearted, Brother Giovanni? Is because they responded to the word of God by understanding what was required of them, and they said, okay, God, here I am. Here's my willingness. Use me, God, for whatever you want me to do it, and look at how he responded. He gave them that spirit of wisdom. Church, that's my prayer for every single one of you tonight, is that you not only will hear the word, but that you'll want to understand it. And as you grow in your understanding, that you'll want to keep it. And when you keep it, church, that's when you'll become fruitful. Amen. Chapter 30, all the way now. Again, 28, we're just kind of skimming through. Chapter 29, chapter 30, he's talking about the priesthood and he's talking about the tabernacle, okay? He's given him further instruction on how to build the tabernacle for the priests, the sacrifices, the orders, the requirements. Go with me now to Exodus chapter 31. Once again, we're going to see specific names, specific men for roles to help build the house of God. Look at here, verse 1, Exodus 31. The Lord spake unto me, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Ur of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship. Here's a man who has the ability and the talents to actually work with his hands, to do a trade, to devise cunning works, and to work in gold and silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have gained with him Ahiloab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are what? Wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. Church, what's the application? You came here to church tonight. That's a good thing. You know what that demonstrates? You got a wise heart. Why? You want to learn more about God. You know what else that shows me, brothers and sisters? That shows me that you want to grow in your understanding. You know what that also tells me, church? That you have talents, gifts, and abilities that God gave you to help build this church. But do you have a willing heart to follow through? That's what I want you to think about now. You have a wise heart, brother. You have a wise heart, sister. All of you guys have been given talents and gifts and abilities by your God to help build this church. But do you have a willing heart to say, Pastor, here I am. Whatever God wants to do, I'll do it. I'm all in. That's how he used these simple people, guys. Look at that. It doesn't say anything about their knowledge of God and understanding every law. No, it said they have their ability and a heart that was wise to do what God commanded them to do. That's all it takes. You don't have to know the whole Bible, brother and sister. You just have to have a what? Willing heart. That's tonight's message, church. When you go all the way down now, all the way to verse 11, that's exactly what you're going to see. These people having a specific role, specific talents, specific gifts to help build the house of God using ordinary people. Exodus 32, next chapter. But you remember those Hebrews? Remember what we're talking about tonight, how they immediately received the word, but they didn't have no root in themselves? That sensational, yes, I want to accept Jesus into my heart, but you didn't really count, if you will, the cost of what that meant when you profess faith, whenever somebody told you about Christ and you gave your life to Jesus. Remember how some of you did that, and all of a sudden, over time, you kind of found yourself not really committed, not really growing, not really rooted, because you still had this thing over here, that thing over there. That's the stony ground. Remember what about these people of Israel? Look at this, church. From chapter 19 to chapter 32, what have they been seeing on the top of that mountain? The glory of God. Who's up there? God's up there. Whose glory is up there? God's glory is up there. Whose man is up there? God's man, Moses, the pastor. And yet, as time went on, look at here, church, Exodus 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. Wait a second. They just broke the first commandment. They all just agreed to it a couple of chapters ago. Were you there? Look at here. For as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we would not what has become of him. So their pastor's not really in their life right there. They're not really involved because how many days and nights? 40 days. I haven't heard from him. We haven't talked with him. There's no text message, if you will, and I'm going to start living life my way. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings and they receive them at their hand. Verse 4, I'm just kind of paraphrasing and kind of going off of these things. He fashioned it with a graving tool. He made a molten calf. And you know what they said? These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar. Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. They rose up early on the morrow, sister, watch this. They offered burnt offerings. They brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat, to drink, and rose up to play. Woo! Do you think God is happy about that or angry? Anybody? He's angry. How many of you guys have ever felt anger because of something somebody did that you told them not to do and you gave them the clear expectation they did it anyways and all of a sudden you heard about it? How would that make you feel? Imagine that, God and 2 million of his people. The pastor doesn't even know. He's up there. Look at verse 7. The Bible says here, the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods. He's just repeating what they said. The Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Moses is right there between him and the people, and God wants to take them out because they broke his covenant. They made a false god. I mean, within less than 2 months, church, they said, yeah, God, we're going to do your word. All of a sudden, they're fornicating, they're playing around, they're drinking, they're partying it up. God said, get out of my way, Moses. I'm going to take them out. But Moses, what a loving shepherd, what a loving pastor. Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people? God, why are you mad? Isn't that wild? Who is this man to ask God, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. This is Moses now, church. He's telling God, remember Abraham, remember Isaac and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. What does that tell me? God changed his mind because Moses asked God to forgive his people's sin. Here we have church. It was an amazing man, a humble man, the Bible calls Moses, who was willing to intercede on the behalf of his, if you will, church members' mistakes. It's very difficult sometimes as a pastor to continue to forbear people that come and they go, and people, if you will, that disobey God and not really following God. It's very difficult to say, God, just please don't give up on that brother. Lord, please hold on to this thing over here. Lord, please hold on to that thing over there. Lord, she's so close. If only he... Do you know that it's possible for God to change his mind and to move on your life if a pastor doesn't give up praying for his people? That's a pretty good lesson. I hope you don't give up on praying for me, brother or sister. This is a very good application that we can take here. And this is something that we can also take in our heart for our carnal brethren who backslide. We should not stop praying to God on their behalf, even though God gets angry or disappointed, if you will, because of their sin. So over time, as you can read now on your own time, Moses is beginning to walk back down the mountain. And as he is walking back down the mountain, church, he heard all the shouting, all the noise, and Joshua, who was his right-hand man, don't forget about Joshua. He's so very important. He's like an assistant pastor. He was right there by Moses' side, being disciple, ready to continue, if you will. And yet, as he's waiting for his man up there, he told Moses, there is a noise of war. But Moses said, it's not the noise of war. Look at what he said in verse 18, church. It's people that are singing. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh, this is verse 19, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. So who got mad now? Moses got mad. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. He took the calf which they had made, burnt it in the fire, ground it to powder, strutted upon the water, and are you ready for now? And made the children of Israel drink of it. Woo! Aren't you glad you're not a Jew back in them days? Amen. Every time y'all mess up on the Lord, it's not like your pastor's coming to your house and saying, eat this because you did this against God. No, no, no. That's crazy. Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Aaron said, let not thine anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. Really, Aaron? You're the one that told them to give you all the gold. They said unto me, make us gods. And so that's what he did. I'm just paraphrasing. Go down with me now to verse number 25. When Moses saw that the people were naked, I'm telling you, they got crazy, y'all. I mean, guys, the Bible's relevant. When our Christians backslide and they go carnal on the Lord, they're going to do some crazy stuff. Amen. For Aaron had made them naked under their shame among the enemies. So then Moses stood in the gate of the camp. Now watch this. And said, who's on the Lord's side? So imagine, he came back down from the mountain, right? All these Hebrews are partying it up. He just broke the big old golden calf and made them drink it. And he's talking to these Hebrews. Who's on God's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves. Those are the priest boys. You ready now? Verse 27. He said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from among gate to gate throughout the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor. They slew them. They killed them. 3,000 church. Look at verse 28. You know what Moses said? Verse 29. Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. That's another word for just saying repent and y'all better get right. You better get your act together. You better cleanse yourself. Everyone, look at here. Even every man upon his son, upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. And it came to pass, church, in verse 30, on the morrow, that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. So Moses, church, he gets back up onto the mountain. He prays on the behalf of the people, and God forgives the people. But he does not leave them guiltless. He punishes them. There's always a consequence for sin, even though there's forgiveness for that sin. That's another lesson for another time. So now as we continue throughout the chapter, Exodus chapter number 33, Moses is back on the mountain. He is talking with God. God forgave his people. God is going to restore his people, but he is going to plague his people to teach them a lesson. He is going to chastise them, if you will, and to teach them a lesson. If you follow with me now, church, all the way through chapter number 34, he's reminding Moses of the law. He showed grace, he punished them, but now he is reminding them of what I'm going to do with the people. And lastly, Exodus chapter 35, coming to a close. Moses gathers everybody back. Look at verse 1. Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord hath commanded that ye should do them. He is reminding them of the word of God. He's reminding the people of the Lord's commandments again and again. Question, isn't that what your pastor does every time you come back? Don't I remind you of what you should be doing, how you should be doing it, how much you should be doing it, how consistent you should be doing it. Godly wives do this. Godly husbands do that. Christians soul win together. Christians give. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? It is. And look, as we continue along in this story, keep an eye on the willing heart. Amen. Look where here. He tells them in verse 2, 6 days shall work be done. On the seventh day, there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Ye shall kindle no fire throughout your habitations upon the Sabbath day. By the way, if you guys ever go soul winning and you come across somebody that says they're a Seventh-day Adventist, how many of you guys ever heard of that? Septimo dia? Okay. They claim that they're, you know, Sabbath keepers and law abiders. All you got to do, brother, is say, oh, friend, did you turn on your stove this morning? If you did, you kindled the fire. You broke the Sabbath. How about that? There you go. So you can use that. Okay. All right, verse 4. Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying. Now watch. Look at verse number 4. You see that word highlighted? Commanded. What does that tell me? He already commanded them in the past. Are you following along now? He is reminding them of what God had already said. And look at verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold, silver, brass, and church. He begins to give them another list again of everything that God was waiting on the people's heart of their own free will to offer him. You can read all throughout the rest of this chapter. Let's go all the way down. Look, we're talking about stones and spices, and whoever is wise-hearted in verse number 10 shall come and do what the Lord is asking them to do. about how to build everything, the wood and the incense and the hangings. He's just regurgitating everything that was already stirred. Now look at verse 21, church, before we close. Excuse me. The good thing about you is that you came to church tonight. That shows you have understanding. That shows that you want to keep it. Now the thing that you got to ask yourself, which is tonight's message, is do you have a willing heart? And not only do you have a willing heart, but is your heart stirred? Do you stir yourself up to continue to do the work of the Lord? Look at verse 21, church. They came. So he just told everybody. He reminded them of all the words. He told them, this is what we need from you guys. But whoever is willing, yes, we need the money for this. Yes, we need your time for that. Yes, we need your talents and your gifts and your works and your abilities to help us build this house for God. But listen up, Israel, of a willing heart. He told them, look at verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. I hope you're reading that, church. That's very, very important. Everyone whose his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service and for the holy garments. So, Pastor, are you saying you're just waiting for men to help you teach and everything? No. Are you ready, sisters? Look at this, 22. They came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted. You know what the women brought, church? Sisters, look, they brought bracelets. They brought earrings. They brought rings and tablets and jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. Did you see that again, church? Look, verse 21. Everyone whose heart stirred him up, everyone whom his spirit made willing. You know what the difference is between you and a Jew 2,000 years ago? They didn't have the Holy Spirit of God. You do. But you know what the difference is between you and a Jew 2,000 years ago? Their heart stirred him up. Their own spirit made them willing to work for the Lord, to sacrifice their money, to say, God, oh, Pastor Moses, is that what you need to finish a church thing over there? All right, hey, wife, yep, we're going to sell this thing. We're going to make that happen. We're going to just, man, I'm stirred. Look at how great God has been to us, man. He forgave us from all that silliness. We're going to do this for our God. We're going to give that money required. We're going to surrender our time. We're going to sacrifice our freedoms and our pleasures so that way we can please our God, because I'm stirred to do it. Church, we need to be more like these Jews. We need to be more like these folks who are willing to do it, that their own heart made them willing. I'm telling you, church, it's not necessarily going to be supernatural all the time. You're not just going to all of a sudden want to pick up your Bible and you're just going to want to start reading it every day. That doesn't happen, y'all. You have to stir yourself up to get in this book every single day. You have to stir yourself up to get to church before church starts. You have to stir yourself up to give. You have to stir yourself up to go soul winning. You have to stir yourself up to teach your wives the word of God for the husbands, and for the wives to be godly and submissive and to encourage your husbands to serve God and to do what God is calling him to do. Because remember, wives, you're the helpmeet. You have to stir yourself up, church. God ain't going to do that for you. He gave you the ability, but now it's up to your willingness to do it. Are you with me now? All of us, church. I'm not talking about you as an individual tonight. You know what I'm saying? We're speaking in generalities. I just want you to see, church, that when these Hebrews were stirred, men and women, all of them played a part. That's why, guys, I tell you all the time, church, this is not a one-man show. I am praying for our men to step it up, that I can disciple them so they can teach in my absence when I'm gone. I'm looking and waiting for the women to serve, just like our dear sister Aileen, who just kind of got involved there, and Sister Keenan times past for certain things, and Maribel, and I'm just waiting to see those things happen so we can all make this continue to go forth and build our church up from the inside out. But you got to be willing. You got to stir yourself up. You see there? So they came, church, both men and women, as many as were what? Willing hearted. That's all you need. I'm telling you, you don't need all the Bible knowledge yet, brother. So don't feel shy if you don't know much of this book. All you need is a willing heart. Sister, you don't need all the Bible knowledge. All you need is a willing heart. You got a little money? Hey, that's it. A willing heart. You got a little time? Hey, that's it. But just with a willing heart, give it to God and let the Lord bless you. So look, from 23 onward, every man They gave the blue, the scarlet, the goat's hair, the animal skins for the thing. Everyone that did an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. Every man, they brought the wood. Who had the wood? All the women, look at verse 25, that were wise-hearted, they had talents. Some of you guys have phenomenal talents. I mean, you guys can decorate. You guys can do garden work. You guys can do all those gift talents. But what about for the Lord? What about for your church? Look, they spun with their hands. They brought that which they had spun. Y'all, I don't know if you women know what that is back in those days. Remember how they would make and weave clothing and what happened? That's what they did. So all the women were doing something for God. All the men were doing something for God with their little talents. All the women whose hearts stirred them up spun goat's hair. Now, again, y'all don't have no goats. Amen. Don't be spinning the cat's hair nowadays. Amen. We've got a lot of time for that. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set and the spices and the ointments. Are you ready now? They all brought it. They all brought it. And you're going to read all the way to the end about specific men for specific roles, for everything else. Look at verse 35. Them hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work. Go down, even of them that do any work and of those that devise cunning work. What about that, church? Just even of them that can just do anything. So yes, it was that one guy, Brother Giovanni, who had to just do that one thing, right? He was cutting the stone and the other brother was just cutting the wood. But all the other Hebrews out there, brother, whoever just had a willing heart, any work, the Lord blessed them. He gave them that ability to do it. Are you there? Are you with me? Last chapter, Exodus 36, and we're almost done. Verse 1. Then wrought Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. Moses called Bezaleel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, and everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. So what does that tell me? Again, what do I commend you for tonight? You came tonight, praise God. You came, there's something in your heart, there's something in your free will spirit to say, I'm coming to church. Yes, Pastor Carlos sometimes comes off as a little crazy or may not understand everything, but you came, you have a little heart, you have a little desire, but look at these. Their hearts stirred them up unto the work to do it, and the Lord took care of the rest. Church, that's all you got to do. That's what I'm just trying to teach you tonight. All that God is waiting for is a willing heart, and he will do the rest for you. For those of you who say, I want more of this, I want to do more of that, or if I ask you, brother, can you help me with this, or sister, can we do this together? That's all you need is a willing heart. And so verse 3, the Bible says, they received the Moses, all the offering, which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it with all. So remember, all the things that all the free will offerings that all the Hebrews brought, the money, the ointments, the wood, the stones, they all brought it. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Man, they just kept bringing it. Are you with me? Now, verse 4, all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work, which they made. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of work, which the Lord commanded to make. And remember what I said earlier? Here it is, verse 6. Moses gave commandment that, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Can you imagine the day that your church, because of your willing heart today, eventually over time, if you continue to help me to go soul in, we can bring more people to church. We can baptize more people. Your family members will probably come because they're going to see your faithfulness, your consistency. Can you imagine the day, church, that people are just giving so much and we can take on so many more missionaries and we can do so much more that we actually just have to say, okay, guys, I know this sounds crazy, but we kind of just need to stop giving for like a little bit because we are way over budget. We kind of have a lot more money than we need. And we don't know what to do with it. Imagine that. Moses had to tell the people, stop giving. Woo! Why? Because they were willing-hearted. They had a heart that was willing. As I come to a close, church, this is the last chapter, by the way, in the book of Exodus, where there's any mention of a willing heart and how people responded to the work of the Lord freely. What's my application that I want to close with you tonight, sister and brother? God is waiting on you to come and offer him your bodies. Romans chapter 12, 1 through 2, you can read that. For his service, he's waiting for you to stir yourself up, to be discipled, to be taught, so that way you can teach, so that way you can preach, so that way you can assist your pastor with the vision to win souls and to aid him in the building of the church with your skills and with your talents, with your abilities, with your willingness. Women, he's waiting for you to encourage your husbands, for those of you that are married, to go and serve the Lord, to help their pastor with the work. He's waiting for you to offer your time, your effort, and your money, and your gifts, and your talents to help build your church. And even the same thing for the young folks today, and for those that are single. God is simply waiting to see whose heart is willing. Brother and sister, what are you holding on to? Why are you holding on to that thing? Why are you holding on to time, perhaps, that's fleeting? The difficulties and or, if you will, the deceitfulness of riches, the cares of this life, the lust of other things that are choking the seed of God from producing fruit within your life. Brother, sister, I cannot do this alone. As you know, that your pastor needs help. God has you here for a reason, to submit to his book and to get all of us involved, including ourselves as individuals, yourself, to help with the vision to do what we're called to do, to win souls, to discipleship, to fellowship, etc., etc. And men, I'm especially counting on you to step it up for involvement, because I will travel elsewhere with my wife, and we do not want to close our church doors. Just because a brother here cannot make time to open the doors, open up this Bible, and feed his church with the Word of God. So church, in the end of the day, what do I want to leave you with, and what do I want to encourage you with? Whose heart was stirred? Whose spirit was stirred? Tonight, church, that's any one of us tonight. We can stir ourselves up, but we just have to be willing. All of us can do that. We can build our church. We can build our families. We can build our marriages, but we just need willing hearts to do it. And all you got to do is just say, God, here I am. I'm not perfect, Lord. I don't know all that book, but that's okay, God. You taught me tonight. You just want me to have a willing heart. So, Lord, here I am. Lord, here's my little money. Here's the time that I want to sacrifice to you. Here's my gifts. Here's my talents for the women, for the men, and all those things. Guys, if you guys commit that to God, watch how the Lord will bless our church, how he'll bless your life. Amen. Let's go ahead and close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the word of God. Lord, I'm so thankful that we can learn valuable lessons, even from Old Testament scriptures, from a people that existed a long, long time ago, thousands of years in a wilderness of Sinai. I'm so thankful, God, that tonight in 2022, we here in Oceanside, in our little church, we can gain so much lesson just by the obedience of this people from a long time ago who heard the pastor you had over them, give them your word and your vision for the tabernacle, for the building of their assembly house. And every single one of their free will hearts, every single one of those folks who had a willing heart, stirred themselves up to do that thing, God, and all the men and all the women, God, involved tonight. I know that these members here, I know that they have abilities. I know they have talents you've blessed them with. I know they have finances you've blessed them with. I know they have so much they can do more. But Lord, would you stretch them out a little bit? Would you begin to stir within their spirit to have more of a willing heart to do the work of God here with me? Father, it's not a one-man show. We know, Jesus, that you're the head of this church. We know the Bible's our authority. But Lord, we need laborers. We need men and women tonight, God, that are willing to stir themselves up to come to church to do what you've called us to do. Father, I know you have a plan and purpose for every single one of these lives. Please help them to fulfill the calling you've placed on them. And help me to help them throughout all their spiritual life as best I can, God, to love them, to fellowship, to disciple them, to teach them, so they can be great Christians for you, great men and women of God. Father, thank you for this word tonight. Please help every single member here to get home safely. And I pray that this message stir their heart to do more for you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, love you. God bless you. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Please travel safely, and the Lord bless.